Hi, this is Eric Goodall. Welcome to Marketing 2.0 podcast channel. Today we have Chris Kenton, president and CEO of a social marketing agency, and really a thought leader in social media and how it plays into the marketing mix. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, I know you're president of Motive Lab, but you have your hands in quite a few other things. Tell me what else you're up to right now.
Well, let's see if I can even keep track myself. I've been working with a couple of different groups on the development of some small events and some media. And we've got a site called Marketing Rev that's looking primarily now at the intersection of marketing and technology. And we just did an event 2 weeks ago in Hawaii with about 15 marketing thought leaders talking about some of the issues that are transforming marketing today. And then I'm also leading a startup, an enterprise application in the social media space as well. So definitely have my hands full, but everything's drawing from the same DNA of marketing, technology, and social media.
So lots going on there. Chris, from the event you just mentioned that you had a few weeks back with 15 or so thought leaders in marketing, tell me what the conversation was all about. What were some of the folks talking about, and how do they see this change going on?
The conversation was pretty much what I would call kind of an unagenda, where we had some issues that certainly united us. Everybody was a senior marketer or a senior business executive of a company that was developing marketing technology, and the conversation revolved around how marketing is being changed as a corporate function. And there are certainly a lot of pressures there that you can talk about, everything from the changes in technology around communications, the democratization of communications technology that allows your customers and partners and stakeholders to talk about your company beyond your own marketing message. There are now global markets and global competition and a lot more pressure from board members and from the executive suite for how marketing contributes to the bottom line, and all of that kind of creates this big kind of chaotic environment where people are kind of running around with their hair on fire trying to figure out where they should be spending their resources and time and attention in really making marketing more of a relevant and respected business function. So that was kind of the conversation, and it lacked the structure of a lot of PowerPoint presentations and directed dialogue, and was just more about sharing of experiences and insights about what's happening.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I feel the same way about the traditional conferences. A lot of PowerPoints, also a lot of topics that have been covered over the last few years, and sometimes it seems a little rudimentary. One of the other things I noticed, Chris, and tell me if this was the case at this event, obviously you have 15 thought leaders, 15 people who have been doing it out on the front line and probably have been doing it well and have some good examples and case studies,
yep,
stories about what's done well. But
right,
what about sharing some of the horror stories? I notice when I go to these conferences, everyone talks about rah-rah, we did this a year ago, we've shifted over here, but not a lot of people like to share some of the horror stories. I know that this is all new, and leveraging new technologies like social media can be challenging sometimes.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Horror stories, I think one of the challenges there is that, certainly marketers are under a lot of pressure to elevate their game, to, in many ways, transform the profession on many fronts simultaneously. You've got technology, you've got finance, where marketers are being challenged to demonstrate a much greater facility with understanding the intersection between marketing and finance and how marketing contributes to the bottom line. And certainly in that kind of environment, I think marketers are sensitive about showing up their weaknesses or areas where they may not be up to speed. And then also in any environment where you've got a critical mass of marketers, you're going to have competitors and or people who certainly know each other either socially or professionally. So I think there's a level there where people are a little reticent to share those stories. But
those stories are probably shared over a glass of wine.
Exactly.
Right after the event, right?
Exactly. And fortunately, we had a good opportunity to have a couple of dinner dialogues where we were able to get some of those out on the table. But one thing that I want to bring up that really impressed me, Carol Myers, who's the CMO of Unica, and so she's not only the CMO of a large publicly traded enterprise software company, but it's an enterprise software company that focuses on marketing. And she launched a blog last year called the Marketing Consortium, where she was inviting a lot of guest writers to come in and blog about various aspects of marketing. And she shut down the blog late this past summer, which I thought was a really gutsy thing to do. And she was really candid about why she shut down the blog. And she just said that, you know, from the perspective of the business objectives that they had laid out at Unica for what they wanted to accomplish with the blog, there were a lot of things that they did accomplish, but it wasn't really meeting the kinds of objectives that they had set out for themselves. And they felt that there were other ways, particularly participating in live events and sending the people out who were working on the blog to go and network live. They made a decision to shut the blog down, and she was very public about that. So I really respected that and her ability to admit that it hadn't worked out the way they wanted to and to have the guts to turn it off in the midst of an environment where everybody's turning those kinds of things on.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think a lot of companies or individuals inside organizations are turning these initiatives on just for the sake of turning it on. And it's really, you have to choose the right technology, the right initiative that is best fits you, your company, and your audience, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the way that things tend to work, right? You know, I always laugh that when I get a call from a company that suddenly is in an all-fired rush to set up a blog or a podcast or whatever it might be, and you start pushing on the impetus for getting those kinds of initiatives underway, and I just have this sense that a lot of these things track back to a CEO sitting on an airplane picking up a business magazine and hearing either a competitor or some industry leader that's doing it, and suddenly they have to do it, and that becomes the initiative that drives marketing to do something.
Yeah, so, I mean, with that said, and I know that you consult a lot of your clients on this, what do you recommend people do before they start? I mean, obviously, you know, establish clear business objectives and metrics, but, you know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like anything, that you really want to have an understanding of the lay of the land before you jump in and make an investment in something. I mean, marketers are now more than ever very sensitive about where the dollars are going and how you measure the return on investment. So I think in those situations where you are tempted to kind of jump in feet first, it really makes sense to hold back for a little bit and really go out and look at what's happening and what people are doing, try and learn from the successes and failures of other companies. I think the easiest place to start with that, and I do see marketers getting much more savvy about this, is picking up tools like Technorati or Ask, and Google now have blog search tools. Getting out there and doing a search on Facebook and seeing, you know, what groups are set up, and really spending a little bit of time looking at what's going on out there. It's really similar to a lot of other things that we do. You know, if you go out and you want to build a house, chances are that you may have a vision in your head of exactly what you want that is crystal clear from the moment that you think about it. But for most people, they're going to go through a process of, you know, driving through neighborhoods, picking up magazines, looking at, you know, things that they want, starting to sort of aggregate different components of what really fits your style. And I think that makes a lot of sense in marketing. You know, certainly there are blogs, there are wikis, there are podcasts. You know, there's Second Life and other virtual worlds that are out there. There's Facebook, there's MySpace, and there's not really a one-size-fits-all either methodology or framework that's going to make that work for your company. you've really got to match what's out there with what the opportunities are and what the culture is at your company that you think is going to fit. In some cases, for a lot of companies, the best idea isn't to go out and build something, but it's to empower people within your organization to go out and get engaged in communities that already exist.
Definitely. Chris, on that note, I know that you have several clients and you sit down and you consult with them from start to finish and actually help with the implementation as well. But you have a white paper out there, 12 Essential Tips for Success in Social Media.
Right.
That I think our audience it can actually benefit from. Can you tell me how the audience can actually get their hands on that?
Yeah, you can. There's a link to it on the homepage of our website at motivelab.com. And then we've also got a link to it on our Facebook group. And if you go to Facebook and join the Motive Lab group, you can download a copy of the white paper there as well. It's been quite surprising. We've gotten, to date, about 1,200 registered downloads, which kind of blew my mind. I didn't realize that there was going to be that much pull-through for such a simple white paper.
Well, I mean, I think it's great because it kind of slows you down and it helps you set up the right objectives and it helps you think through the initiative or the technology that you're about to launch. I'll be honest, a little over a year ago when I was getting my hands on some of these social media initiatives, from time to time I'd start going a little fast and forget about what my goals were and what my objectives were. So I think this is a good guide. So Chris, can you give me an example or a case study of a social marketing initiative that you did and maybe the success or challenges you might have had with that initiative?
Sure. We're certainly doing a lot of different types of social media initiatives with our clients, but the white paper that we talked about earlier gave us an opportunity to really kind of step out of the box and try something different. We had written the white paper as sort of the traditional lead generation campaign where we did an outbound emailer and we had done a short webinar and some content syndication. And it performed actually quite well. We got close to 800 registered downloads for the white paper. And then a friend of mine kind of challenged me and said, you know, you're writing this white paper on social media, but you're distributing it through these marketing 1.0 channels. You know, what would happen if you tried to do this through a marketing 2.0 channel? And so we took that challenge and looked around and saw an opportunity on Facebook. And so we set up a Facebook group and posted some discussion around the content that was in the white paper. And it was amazing. Within the space of a week, we got about 180 people that joined our Facebook group and started dialoguing with us about a lot of these issues. And the downloads for our white paper popped from just under 800 to about 1,200. So that was a really amazing testament to the viability of channels that people often think of as being not proven, like Facebook, but it really performed quite well.
So, listen, one last question here. So what do you think social marketing is, you know, as opposed to what that label meant a few years ago or even 10 years ago?
Well, it's interesting. I'm having a lot of discussion with people in both the social media and the social marketing side. I think that, social marketing is this idea about the greater social good. It's the idea about using marketing to promote, social concepts that are beneficial to society. And, 10 years ago, you saw that being used as almost like an innovative ploy to build a brand. You know, I can think of companies like Bed Bath & Beyond Body Works, Patagonia. You know, you had a lot of these companies that were starting to build a brand on social issues. And now what you're finding is because of social media, because people can know much more about your company and how your company behaves, how you treat your workers, the kinds of things that you do as a corporate citizen, those things are starting to really impact people's brand loyalties. People start thinking now more deeply about the companies that they do business with. Walmart, for example. You know, do I want to do business with a company that has these kinds of impacts on society, the way that they treat labor, the way that they provide health care. So what's interesting is that where social marketing 10 or 15 years ago was very much separate from corporate marketing, it was about issues marketing, you're starting to see that become part and parcel of companies' marketing because they have to be a lot more accountable on more fronts than just the quality of their product or the impression of their brand.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Chris. I mean, obviously we can have this conversation go on and on. I have about 20 other questions I'd love to ask, but why don't we cut it short here and try to invite you back another time.
I'd love to do that.
Chris Kenton with Motive Lab. If you'd like that white paper, go to motivelab.com. I'm Eric Vidal. Thank you.